Hey guys, welcome to Online Church. Today we're going to be talking about my favorite passage of scripture. My name is Ryan, and if you don't know me, I grew up in the church. I was given my first picture Bible by my granddad when I was a kid, and my dad was a pastor, and I'd find myself at church all the time. My dad would be preaching, and I would be pretty bored. But the only entertainment I had at the time was my Bible. There were no iPads. I didn't have any books to read. I wasn't allowed to bring them to church. And so I would dig into the Old Testament because there were some really fun stories in the Old Testament if you were a 13-year-old boy. A lot of fighting, a lot of mayhem, a lot of kings and queens and intrigue. And I came across some passages of scripture that really kind of captured my attention when I was an early teenager. I remember David's mighty men, a guy named Abishai and another guy named Benaiah. And so my friend Ashley Poole, one of our Good Life mighty men, is going to read some scripture for you now from Chronicles. So let's check that out.
Hey guys, David's 30 mighty men. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, was the leader of the 30. He once used his spear to kill 300 enemy warriors in a single battle. It was by such feats that he became as famous as the 30. Abishai was the most famous of the 30 as the commander, but he was not one of the 3. There was also Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing 2 champions of Moab. Another time, on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed him. Once, armed with only a club, he killed an imposing Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. Deeds like these made Benaiah as famous as the 3 mightiest warriors. He was more honored than the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the 3. And David made him captain with his bodyguard.
Thanks for that, Ash. Abishai and Benaiah were the kind of stories that a 13-year-old could really get into. I mean, like, who goes into a pit after a lion on a snowy day? It's got to be a mighty man, right? And so for me, the Bible was really about adventure. It was really about capturing my attention as a teenager. Braveheart hadn't even been filmed yet. That was like 5 or 6 years away. And so these stories from the Bible captured my attention. It wasn't until much later that the Bible became something different for me. And, you know, it would eventually lead to this place of where I read it because I had encountered Jesus, that I had encountered a relationship with God that was transforming me from the inside out. And no longer was it just about having my attention captured, but it was about being transformed. It was about this life-giving and sacrificial love that Jesus had. And that's when I came across this passage of scripture from Matthew chapter 11. And to read it for you today is my dad. And I'm so excited that my dad can read this for us today. I wish we were together reading it with you in the same place, but he's going to be reading it from his house in North Idaho. So let's go ahead and listen in as my dad reads from Matthew 11 from The Message.
Matthew 11, 25 through 30 from The Message Bible. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to do it and take a real rest. walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Getting a little emotional. I'd like to read it for you from the NIV. This is what it says in verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is an interesting bit of scripture, right? This comes at the end of a chapter in which John's disciples come to Jesus. And we know from other bits of the gospel, right, that John was Jesus' cousin and that he had baptized him. And he had made this amazing declaration that when Jesus walked towards him in John, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And now John has been preaching his message of repentance, and he's been making some enemies, and he lands himself in jail. Things were not what he expected them to be. And so now he's in jail, and he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we wait for someone else?" And Jesus answers it kind of in this way that only Jesus can. Right? He says, "You go back and you tell John what you see. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are healed, the broken are being restored, and those who are in bondage are being freed from their slavery." Right? And then he goes on to kind of talk to the group that's assembled around him. Like, what did you expect when you saw John? John came preaching repentance. He came fasting, and you called him crazy. I came, Jesus is talking about himself, I came feasting and you called me a drunkard. You called me a lush, right? And the thing is that Jesus is not who they thought he would be. He is the Messiah, but he's not who people expected. And then Jesus has some really, really harsh words for these places that had most of his attention. Right? Most of his ministry was in these few places, and they were not ready for it. And then after these hard words, I love how Eugene Peterson says it, and my dad read it, right? He was speaking to them tenderly. The message is a devotional translation of the scriptures. And I love how Eugene cuts to the heart of these original languages that you and I don't speak. But it says that Jesus was speaking to them tenderly. Right? He was calling them into a relationship, and this is what he says: "Come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are heavy laden, walk with me, learn from me, do it the way that I do it, and you'll find rest." And, you know, we're going to take some time now to kind of just reflect on that scripture in a time of worship. A few years ago, our worship team, led by Craig and the guys and gals on it, wrote this song called Covenant. And in this song, it talks about what it looks like to love the way that Jesus loved, to live the way that Jesus lived, that he is the image of all wonder, the all-creating one. But I hope that as we take some time to worship together in this song, that it would be a time for us to reflect on what these words mean, because Jesus wants to walk with us. He doesn't want to lay a heavy burden on you. He wants you to know the light and the life that he is and that he brings. And so let's take some time to worship together and to reflect on this scripture as the team sings.
Mercy on my soul. find forgiveness here as I surrender all. Receive my sacrifice of praise and exchange all my brokenness for righteousness and grace. And as your eyes roam the earth, will find my heart completely yours. And I will. covenant with you.
Thanks for that, guys. I love that song, and I love being able to reflect on this scripture. It truly is one of my favorites. The way that Eugene Peterson writes it, right? Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And he says that we're able to learn those unforced rhythms of grace. And as we wrap up today, I want to just take that verse and break it down just a little bit, because I think it's important for us to put legs to this, right? We so often can assent to like an idea or a belief, and we have a feeling. You can see that I have a feeling about this scripture. I'm emotionally involved with it, but there is a walking it out, right? There's an embodiment of what this looks like, and it says, come. Jesus says, come, right? There's an action involved in that for us, an acknowledgement that I know things aren't what I expected them to be, but I can come. That invitation is for a certain group of people. And who does he say right after that? Come, all who are weary, all who are tired, all who are broken, all who are experiencing life. Maybe it's not the way that you thought it was going to be. He says, come. It's for everyone. All you who are weary. And he says, I think it's really important to recognize that Jesus is the source, right? Jesus is the source of all of this. I love how in John, he talks about that he is the vine and we can abide in the vine, right? He is the source of all of this. And it doesn't matter what's happened, that he's going to lift us up and he's going to clean us off and he's going to plug us back into the source, and it's going to be good. Come, all you who are weary, I will give you rest. That rest, right, is this thing that is translated in that devotional scripture, the unforced rhythms of grace. It's not forced. It's not coerced. It's not a formula. It's not a list of 12 things that you've got to do. It's the unforced rhythms of grace. And to me, rhythms imply a pattern, right? They imply this way of living. And I think if we were to like pull back on our lives, we would be able to see a pattern of living. And as I pull back the lens on my own life, I often see patterns. And when I'm in those places of things not being what I expected them to be, I see that my pattern is not a pattern of rest and a pattern of where Jesus is the source. It's a pattern of relying on my own strength, a pattern of trying to do it on my own and not sharing in the journey with Jesus, right? He says, take my yoke upon you. Following Jesus in this relationship is not difficult. It's not hard. It's not burdensome. It's the unforced rhythms of grace. And really, what is that grace? It's that unmerited favor, right? The dictionary definition of what grace is this unmerited favor, this gift that we didn't receive or didn't deserve, and we have received it. What does it look like for us to walk into this season, unexpected as it is? It's different. Things may never be what they once were. But it is an opportunity for us to get back to this relationship with Jesus, where he says, come, all who are weary, I will give you rest. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I know it's going to be different for all of us. We all have different personalities, but the promise is the same, that he will be with us, that he is our source. And this grace that he so freely gives, we can receive it and we can walk with him in it. I hope that wherever you find yourself today, whether it's home watching this online or you're with a group of people, that you would think about what this means for you. Maybe it's going to look different from here on out, to walk into that unforced rhythm of grace, to trust him in a new way, to see what he's got for you when we move in His direction instead of our direction, and to trust Him in that, and to let go of some of the luggage of the past. There's nothing wrong with the way I read the Bible as a 13-year-old. I loved the Old Testament and the stories, and there's beauty there still. But it points us to Jesus. It points us to the mightiest person who's ever lived is a man who laid his life down for us. What does that look like for us today? I'm so excited for you as you get to go into this week and hopefully reflect on the truth of this scripture. I hope you have a great week. Can I pray for you? Father God, thanks. I pray that as we open your word, you would reveal Jesus to us in a way that we've never had him revealed to us before. That you'd help us walk with you, that we would learn from you, and that we would find rest. God, rest for our souls. We live in an uncertain time. And God, your promise is that you would always be with us, that you're for us, and that we can trust you even in that uncertainty of knowing what tomorrow holds, because you hold us. And so I look forward, God, to all that you're going to do in me and through me, the same for my friends and family of faith, that you're going to do in them and through them this week. God, thanks. We love you, and we look forward to all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. We'll see you later.